Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
You having a good summer?
Yes.
Yeah? Well, we got a lot going on this summer. It's been fun just to hear what people are doing and where they're heading, where they're going. And our missions trip will be coming back pretty soon. We're getting to hear some great reports about what God's doing. Let's stand as we read God's word this morning. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. And I love this. As we just can have the public reading of Scripture, may God's word just speak and soak into our lives today. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now faith is confidence. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." Hebrews 11, 6 says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that God is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek him." Hebrews 11, 23 through 29, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who's invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've left our homes to come to this house, to this place of gathering, to this assembly of believers. And Lord, we recognize that you are here. You are real, and you are with us, that your eyes are upon us, that you know us by name, you care for us. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would open our eyes this morning, that we can see you, that you would open our ears, that we would hear your voice. Lord, we bring our lives before you today. Jesus, walk in our midst. We pray, Lord God, these things. We pray, Lord, that you would speak now, and you would do this for your glory and your name. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
And you all may be seated. So, if you've been watching anything, you notice that there's a theme in our culture right now on superheroes. We have a lot of movies that you could go to today in the theater, and you could see superheroes today if you went to any movie theaters. Anyone, you know, Wonder Woman? I liked Wonder Woman. We've got Spider-Man that's out there right now, and Guardians of the Galaxy was a great one. Thor's coming out in the fall. If you like the movie Thor, Thor's kind of one of my favorites too. Yeah. So, by the way, if you want to go to Disneyland, their theme, they have a theme this summer at Disneyland. You know what the theme is? The Summer of Heroes, right? And so obviously, as we're rolling toward family camp, we decided to come up with the theme Heavenly Heroes and just kind of ride the coattails of this. Family camp is awesome. So what happens is our students leave for family camp, or they go away and they have a youth camp that's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we just invite the whole church to go to this camp. It's down in San Diego. It's a great camp. They got paintballing and pools and zip lines, and it's going to be a blast. It's a lot of fun, and we join our youth as we all see God together. It is a great experience, and I really encourage you to sign up, and today's kind of that last day to sign up. And while we're there, we're going to be talking about how God has equipped us. God has given us spiritual gifts and talents and abilities and opportunities to be used by God in special ways. We decided to do a series leading up to family camp, and we're calling it Heavenly Heroes. We're in the Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter in the Bible. It's, some people call it, it's the Hall of Fame of the Old Testament heroes. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of ordinary people, just like you and me. And it, when you read their lives, they all have flaws. These are ordinary people that God used in extraordinary ways. Because they trusted in God, they believed in God, and by doing that, their lives all of a sudden took on a whole new meaning in life. Not just for this world, but for the world beyond. And so we thought it'd be fun just to say, hey, let's go through some of these. Last week, we talked about Abraham. He's a bigwig. Abraham's awesome. An amazing man of faith. And you know, when you study these people, you can look at them and say, I can learn from these people in my faith journey. This morning, we want to look at a lightweight in the Bible, Moses, right? Moses, he's hardly mentioned at all. Moses, hey, when you say the name Moses, what image comes to your mind? When I say Moses, what image comes to your mind? How about Charlton Heston? You got that one? You show me the first one? I think a lot of people would think of this dude, right? So if I say the name Moses, a lot of people goes, Charlton Heston, right? And what movie was this?
Ten Commandments.
Hey, there was a movie that Steven Spielberg popped out a while ago. It's called The Prince of Egypt. Did anyone see this one? Spielberg, it was a good one. How many people have seen this one? I liked it, right? Now, a few years ago, Christian Bale took a shot at being Moses, and that was the, what was it? Wait, go back to the first one. Yep, that one, Exodus. Did anyone see this one in the theaters? Anyone? Christian Bale, it was hey, we were excited because the person that made Gladiator made this movie. It's supposed to be really good. If you saw the movie, I like the movie until the part of God came into the movie. In the movie, they made God a kid, right? And this is a picture of the kid. So God's a kid. If you see the movie, God doesn't know what he's doing. And he's kind of looking at Moses going, well, what do you think? It was a bummer, okay? Got to say this, though. Moses has a lot more movies in Hollywood than Abraham does. Way more popular. But if you want to study anybody in the Bible, don't go to Hollywood. Go to God's holy word, right? Hollywood, holy word. Hollywood, holy word. The book is always... The book is always
better.
The book is always better, people. The book is always better. If you really want to meet a person, know a person, you really want to understand the Bible, don't go to Hollywood. Go to God's holy word, because that's what you're going to do. So Moses, what do we do about Moses? If you want to study the life of Moses, open up God's holy word. And if you read the 40 chapters in Exodus, you'll have a detail of Moses' life. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in the 7th chapter, gives a great commentary on Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, there's 7 verses devoted to the life of Moses. 7, okay? And when you read these verses, they're like a flyover of Moses' life. Kind of like cliff notes, I guess you could say. A cliff notes, kind of a highlight of, you know, well, who was Moses? Well, here he is. This was Moses in a nutshell in his faith journey. And so we want to look at Moses this morning. And you know what, people, when you study him and you reflect on him, you'll see that your faith journey and Moses' faith journey, there's a lot in common. So, as you probably know, when baby Moses was born, he was born into a world of cruelty. Baby Moses was born into a world of slavery. Baby Moses was born into a world of genocide for his people. Moses was born in some of the darkest days of the Hebrew Jewish history up to that point. The Pharaoh of Egypt had ordered all male Jewish babies to be killed in order to control their population. Okay? Just think about that. Imagine if you were living at that time as husband and wife, and you find out that your wife's pregnant. What would you be praying for?
A girl.
Can you imagine at that season of life, in that time of human history, where baby males are being killed? So Moses' mom and dad get pregnant, and I'm sure they were praying, please let it be a girl, please let it be a girl. And he's a boy. In the scriptures, it indicates that when baby Moses was born, his parents had a revelation that their child was born for a special destiny. And they hid him for 3 months by faith. They were trusting God that God would protect their baby. Now, that's kind of tough. Newborn babies are loud, some more loud than others. And hey, when babies are being born, you can imagine they probably, how did they hide him? They just did. But they knew that they couldn't hide Moses forever, right? So they came up with a plan. I'm sure their plan, they're going to pray the whole way. It says, by faith, in Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they weren't afraid. If you want to take notes this morning, you want to meet the person of Moses, take notes this morning. Note number one, Moses became a great man of faith because his parents were great people of faith. That needs to be known. After Moses was born, they hid him for 3 months, but they knew that their time was short, that they could hide this baby. So they prayed and they planned a scheme to keep their child alive, observing what time of the day that Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile. They just planned a scheme. We're gonna put our baby in a basket and let's float him right now. And they watch. Can you imagine doing that with your kid? God blesses their plan. Pharaoh's daughter sees this, reads, maybe she hears a baby crying. You know, to the Egyptians at that time, the Nile was one of the gods, the god of the Nile. Maybe she was thinking that this was some gift from the Nile god or something. She sees baby Moses, she picks him up, she accepts him as her kid, right? It says this in Exodus, so we can swim a little bit deeper. It says, when Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slaves to get it. She opened it up and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is the one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then her sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, then his sister, right, asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother, Pharaoh's daughter, said, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him, and when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter. When the child grew older, that's a good question. She took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Here's the cool part. The woman that got to raise Moses was his mom. Hey, you want me to go find some lady that could nurse this baby? Sure. Raise him for me. I got this. I got this. People, Moses' parents not only got their child back from the edge of the grave, they also got official sanction and protection from the palace, and they also got paid to raise their kid. Is God good or what? Right? I mean, don't you wish your life would always be like that? This is just the beginning of Moses' life. It's just the beginning. Growing up, we don't really know when Moses moved to the palace. Was it 4 months? Was it when he was 12 years old? We don't know. The scriptures don't tell us when Moses went from the hut of a slave family to the palace. We don't know. But we do know that somewhere along his path of growing up, he found out about his true identity, his Hebrew roots. Moses learns of who he really is. And imagine what that must have been like for him. If you could just get into Moses' mind. For the first 40 years of his life, he discovers who he is somewhere along that path. He's living in wealth. He's living in luxury. He's educated in the best schools. And all the while, knowing in the back of his mind that his people are living a very different life than he is getting to. How did that make him feel? How would that make you feel? I mean, would you have an inward struggle with that? An inward struggle? We read in the scriptures that Moses had an inward struggle in knowing this. He had an internal tension. He had a unique situation in his life that presented him with unique choices that no other Hebrew had. Take notes on this. When Moses finds out who he is, what does he do with that? Moses could turn his back on his people and enjoy being the prince of Egypt and all the pleasures that would come with that. That certainly was his choice, wasn't it? Cool. I'll just embrace this and never say another thing about who I really am, and I'm going to party it up. He could do that. Or Moses could take another path, having faith that God had him in this position for a higher purpose and stand with his people. That's an option for Moses, isn't it? I mean, he had two choices. The pleasure of sin for a season in Egypt, or follow God and God's will for his life. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? Hebrews 11 says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Messiah or Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Somewhere people along Moses' journey, he came face to face with the emptiness, the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought to himself, there has got to be more to life than this. There has to be more to my life than this. There's got to be more to life than sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? I mean, think about it. His opportunity. Can you imagine what he grew up in? The opportunities that Moses had? Think about it. He knew. He was living in Hollywood, in royalty. He saw it all as he's growing up. And this internal tension, what do I do with this? How do I choose to live my life? He knew the path without God was fleeting. He knew the path without God had no meaning and no purpose. Moses figured this out in the palace. Do you remember when you figured this out? There's a saying that the two most important days in a person's life is the day they were born and the day they find out why they were born. The day you were born, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. How about the day you find out why you were born? Why am I here? What's the purpose? What's the meaning? Why do I exist? Why did God put me here? When we find that out, that's a great day. And Moses figured that out. Moses figured there had to be a higher purpose and meaning to my life than this. And I'm sure that Moses knew the story of his life, him being saved in the river and being brought to this place, or this place of status, or this situation of his life. He knew what was going on. What were his choices? Do I have fun? live for myself, party it up, it's the Prince of Egypt, or do I not? This was the inner conflict in the first 40 years of, somewhere in the first 40 years of Moses' life. And notice this. Moses knew that by making a decision to follow God for his life, it was going to cost him. Did you hear that? Moses knew that if he chose to follow God with his life, it was going to cost him. He knew it. Did you ever figure that out? Did you ever come to that place in your life as you were in your own spiritual journey of meeting Jesus, knowing Jesus, following Jesus? You came to a place in your life, do I choose? Am I going to say yes to Jesus and accept the call of Jesus on my life, or am I not? Did you realize that if you chose to follow, it was going to cost you? Did you ponder that during your time of coming to faith in Christ? You know, Jesus put it this way years later. Jesus put it this way years later. Jesus says in Luke 9:23, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and to forfeit their soul or their life?'" Moses knew, man, if I follow God, it's going to cost me. I remember as a young person reading the scriptures in my early 20s and reading. I just read through the Gospels one summer. I read the teachings of Jesus, and there was hard teachings, hard words that Jesus would say. Jesus says, if you love your mother and father and wife and children and life and possessions and house greater than me, you're not worthy of me. If you want to follow me, it's going to cost you everything. And I'm just reading these going, what does this man want from me? He wants your life. Follow me. If you choose to follow me, it's going to cost you. And I actually, people, in my own story, I came to a place where I'm like, I think this guy's the Messiah. I believe he arose from the dead. And I spent, I think it was 8 weeks in torture of what am I going to do with this. Once I came to the realization of who there is a God, God made me, God created me, and God has a calling in my life, and I knew if I go this path, my life's going to have to change. And I struggled because I knew in my early 20s, if I become a Christ follower, my life was going to change. And there were things in my life I liked doing. I drank more alcohol between the time I was 14 to the time I was like 20, than a person should drink in their lifetime. I played around with drugs. I mean, all that. And then I hear the call of Jesus. It's going to cost me. Moses knew this, people. He knew I cannot just, if I choose to follow God, my life's going to radically change. Take notes on this. When Moses chose to follow God, he knew that there was a cost to being a follower and there was a cost to not being a follower. He had to ponder this. Just like now, there's a cost to following Jesus. People, there's a cost to not follow him too. And you got to process this on your own faith journey. Moses one day decided, I'm going to follow God. I'm choosing a higher path for my life. There's got to be something bigger for my life, and I'm going with the Lord. And when Moses accepts God's calling, he doesn't just one day say, I quit. At the palace. Did y'all notice that in the scriptures? When you read the life of Moses, Moses doesn't one day come into his mom and go, I quit being the prince of Egypt. He doesn't go up to the Pharaoh and say, I quit being your son. He doesn't do that. What he does is he has a plan. He believes that God has placed him in this station in his life to be the deliverer of his people. And this was his plan. I'm going to lead a rebellion. In Acts chapter 7, there's a good commentary into the mind of Moses at this time. It says, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought, listen to his plan, Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they didn't. People, Moses saw his people all the time. How could he miss them? They were all over the place. They were building, they were chopping, they were sweeping, they were shoveling, they were hauling, they were dragging stones. They're all over. Moses was visiting his people with a purpose. He has a plan. And during desiring to carry out God's will for his life, eager to do great things for God, he looks to the left, he looks to the right, and then he strikes down the Egyptian taskmaster, right? Courageously, he's striking a blow for God's people, believing that his people will rally to him as he leads a rebellion to free God's people from Egypt. This was his plan by the time he was 40. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they didn't. How did Moses' plan go? It went south, right? The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other? But the man who was mistreating, or the guy who was winning in the fight, pushes Moses aside and says, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner, lived a different life. People, he left Egypt alone without God's people behind him in tow at the age of 40. His plan failed. Does anyone know why? Was Moses right that it was God's will for him to be used as the deliverer of God's people? Did Moses discern that calling well in his life? Answer, yes, right? So what went wrong? Listen, I love this. Look in Exodus 2. It says, Exodus 2:12 says, looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. I love that. You know where Moses went wrong? He's like, okay, God, you've got a calling in my life. I got this. I got a plan. So he's going to execute his plan, and he sees what's going on, and he's making sure. And Moses was skilled in war, FYI. Historians outside of the Bible say that he actually led Egyptian armies in battle. He was a general. So he says, I'm going to kill this dude. He kills him. He looks this way and he looks that way. Which way did he forget to look? Okay, I'm looking to the left, I'm looking to the right. He forgot to look up. He forgot to look up. In Hebrews 11:6 it says, and without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And notice this, and he's the rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He is the rewarder of those who do what? Earnestly. What does that even look like? Earnestly seek him. Right? Moses didn't quite have that down. He didn't quite have that down. You want a life lesson from Moses this morning about faith? Write this down. God does his will in his way, in his time. Moses had one out of three. His will, got it. Lord, clearly I'm in a place of station by your divine calling. Clearly, I understand your will for my life. Clearly, God, you put me in this place of station. Clearly, you've got me to be the deliverer of these people. God, I got it. Here's my plan. Bless me. God, I have a plan. Bless me. I got the will part down. I've come up with my own plan. He didn't earnestly seek God. for God's will or God's time. He just says, I got a plan. I know what my calling is. Here we go. And it fails. It fails. And here's a life lesson. God likes to do his will in his way, in his time. And this is a life lesson. Moses leaves Egypt with nobody behind him, and he spends the next 40 years of his life in the desert learning this lesson. Can you imagine the next 40 years of his life? Way different than the first 40 years of his life. Hiding in the desert of the Sinai Peninsula, barren place, looking up at the stars at night going, how did this happen to me? What happened in my life? Clearly, God, I get you, but I don't. And from the time he's 40 to the time he's 80, he sits on the sidelines. Did you ever learn God's lesson? It's God's will and God's way and God's time. Have you figured that out? See, I've learned this truth in my life. Have you? I remember when I first became a believer in Jesus, as it says in Hebrews, sometimes you have a lot of zeal but no knowledge. That was me. And I had a radical life change experience in my life. And I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, all my party friends in Palm Springs. I wanted to get them all saved. So I got in their face and told them about Jesus. The cross, there's a God. You're going to hell, you know. I would kick and drag and beat. You need to quit doing drugs now. You need to stop doing this now. I'm in charge. Jesus has just saved me, and he wants to save you all too. And here we go. And you know what happens when we have that type of attitude? We get frustrated. Here's a wonderful verse in Corinthians that means a lot to me. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says, for when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, the Apostle Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. Who makes it grow? God does, right? Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. It's God's will in God's way in God's time. Can you say it with me? God's will in God's way in God's time. Not yours. That's a life lesson to figure out. A lot of people who follow Jesus struggle with this. Why didn't you bless me, Lord? You know, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Notice he doesn't say, take my yoke upon you and let me learn from you. God doesn't learn from you. He already knows everything. He needs you to follow him. Moses, you need to learn to follow me. I don't follow you. You follow me. This is a life lesson. It's a lesson right out of the pages of Moses. And for the next 40 years, Moses has to ponder this. When we try to do something for God in our own flesh, in our own power, in our own time, you're in trouble. You have to learn to earnestly seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Moses had one out of three when he left Egypt at the age of 40, and he had the next 40 years of his life to ponder this truth. At the age of 80, God was ready to move in his way, in his time. It says, after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. And he went over to get a closer look. He heard the Lord say, I am the God of your fathers. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, for the place that you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groanings, and I have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. This is the same Moses that they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by who? God himself, through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for the next 40 years in the wilderness. You can look at Moses' life in three 40-year segments. The first 40 years, he spent in Egypt, nursed by his mother, raised in Egyptian ways and customs, living in conflict of decision of which path he was going to follow for his life, the pleasures of sin for the season, or follow God's will for my life. He spent the next 40 years of his life in the desert, nurtured by solitude, pondering why God didn't do it my way. He could sing Frank Sinatra, I did it, right? Why didn't you do it? Bless my way, right? And then at the age of 80, he hears God. He spends the next 40 years of his life watching God do amazing things through his life in God's ways and in God's timing. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. People, Moses had a front row seat in seeing God deliver his people out of Egypt by amazing signs and wonders. He saw God destroy an army of Egypt. He heard the voice of God as he talked with him face to face on Mount Sinai. He wrote the first five books of the Bible, which is known as the Torah or the Law. Jesus would say the writings of Moses. He would say Moses and the prophets. Jesus would just recognize Moses was the writer. The first one would be Moses and the prophets. Moses had an amazing front row seat from the time he was 80 to he was 120. It's funny, you know, Moses' plan was to kill an Egyptian and bury him in the sand. His way. God's way? I'm going to take a whole Egyptian army and bury him in the Red Sea. Which plan's better? I'm sure as Moses was watching this, he was just in awe. When you see God work and you watch what God's doing and you're part of what God's doing, it's awesome to watch. When you see God at work doing his will and his way and his time. I mean, you know, my friends in high school, they all would call me. There was this one girl named Tanya. She was a really cool girl I went to school with, partied with. Her dad made real gaskets. Mr. Gasket was his name in the days, hot rods. Tanya would come to Palm Springs High School in a limousine to be dropped off at school. And when, guess what her first car was? BMW. Guess what it looked like 6 months after she owned it? It was... I was a car guy growing up. Man, there'd be Coke spilled all over it and this and that and all this stuff, you know. And she dented and scratched it. So after 6 months, she got a new BMW. She went in her dad's Learjet to France to buy school clothes. Tanya. You know what? She accepted Christ. I had the privilege one day running into her and she knew what? Frankie became a priest or something, you know. What happened to him, you know? Man, and to finally hear about her, God saved her in his will. in his way, in his time. And all she knew was she had some weird friend that she went to school with who was a partier who became a religious person, who was really in her face. I plant, water. Who causes the growth? I have no control over this. I have no control over this. Moses learned these lessons. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Fame. Many people call it the heavenly superheroes of the Bible. And if you look at their lives, you can learn from them for your life today. I mean, for me personally, last week, when I read the life of Abraham, Abraham was a man of faith. He believed what God told him, and it was reckoned to him as righteous. And the Apostle Paul uses Abraham's story in Galatians chapter 3. He says, we have been declared righteous the exact same way Moses has. When you hear what God has done for you and you believe, you're righteous. It's by faith that you accept Christ. It's not by works. God doesn't want you to do 50 push-ups for him. You don't earn your way to heaven. All religion, you work your way up to God through moral effort. Christianity is different than every religion. In Christianity, God in his love and mercy and grace has worked his way to you through his son Jesus. He does all the work. And by you accepting what he did for you, you're declared righteous. Abraham teaches us this. The same faith of Abraham is in all of you who've said yes to Jesus. When you hear what Jesus did for you on the cross and you accept that by faith, God says you're righteous. Just like when Abraham looked up and he saw all the stars in the sky, God said, man, I'm going to do all this for you. And Abraham says, I believe you. God says, righteous. Abraham teaches us faith lessons. Abraham teaches us that God tests our faith. Have you had your faith tested? Abraham's faith was tested. See, our faith is more precious than silver or gold to God. And so God at times will test our faith. Are you really with me or not? Will you really follow me or not? And there are times when we fail God's tests, and there's times when we pass. My son right now is taking chemistry. He's worried he's going to pass. I hope he passes. He's fighting. We want to pass tests, right? Abraham, hey, you want to meet Moses? Moses will teach you some stuff. Number one, Moses will tell you that if you choose to follow God, it's going to cost you. There's a cost to following God, and there's a cost to not following God. And Jesus would even say, count the cost. Moses had to sit this through and say, if I choose to be a follower of God, if I choose to embrace a higher calling on my life, it's going to cost me. Holiness and righteousness, to be a follower of Jesus, it's going to cost you to follow him, and it will cost you not to follow him. Look around. Moses teaches us this. Hey, do you want a life lesson from Moses today? Let Moses teach you this one. If you choose to follow God, God likes to do his will in his way and in his time. Life lesson from Moses. God likes to do his will in his way and in his time, not yours. You follow him. Earnestly seek him, and there lies the great mystery, to earnestly seek God, to understand that God is at work. You know, Jesus says that my Father is always about his work. God is always about his work, even now as he was back then. God is at work in people's lives all over the world. And the deal is this. You don't sit there and say, God, this is what I want to do, and I want you to bless me. It doesn't work. Ask Moses. The plan is to sit around and say, God, where are you at work, and how can I join you? Difference. Difference. The leadership team of this church, every September, gathers in this place. Some of us fast and pray as we seek God and we gather together as a leadership team of this church, and we go through times of spiritual confession and seeking God, and we spend some time going, where have we seen God at work in our church? Where do we see God at work? Where is God moving? And we all get together, and we see, and we go, you know, God's at work here, and he's at work here, and he's at work here. And then we as a leadership team say, okay, this is great. How can we join God in what God is doing this next year? And we try to come out with goals and visions and budgets to join God in what God's doing. What we do not do is sit in a room and say, this is what I want to do next year. This is what I want to do next year. There are a lot of churches that do this. And I refuse. I hate it. This is our plan. This is our vision. This is our this and our that. I don't want to hear your plan and your vision. And I want to hear what God's plan and God's vision is. I need you to seek him. If you sense that God is telling you something, I want to know about it. But I don't want to hear what you want. Do you? Hey guys, do you want to know what Pastor Frank's plan is for the church? Anyone? Would that be depressing? Oh, Pastor Frank, as you seek God, what do you sense is God's plan for the church? Do you see the difference? Moses will teach you this. As you seek God, God's at work. Jesus says, my Father is always at work. And Jesus says, and I am at work. And then when you accept Jesus in your life and you accept what he's done for you on the cross, he invites you into his kingdom work. You're a part of redemptive history. Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. Jesus says, my Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Jesus says, my Holy Spirit will come upon you and will teach you all things and lead you in my ways. People, if you want to follow God for your life, you need to listen for him and see him and seek him earnestly. And God will show you. And when God shows you, it works really well. Take it from me. Listen to Moses. He's in the Hall of Fame of faith. He's a faith superhero. This is what our family camp's going to be about. We're going to go to family camp. We're going to look at, like, how do we hear the voice of God? And what are the spiritual gifts and talents and abilities and opportunities, and maybe we can pray with you, and let's learn how we can join God and be more than what our lives should be. Our lives mixed with God, God does great things. Well, how do we join and seek God in that? Behold Family Camp. Sign up. It'll be fun. What do you think of Moses? Impressive? Yeah. I want you to think about this message. I want to pray for you, and we always like to do this. After the message and for the next few songs, we're going to sing some great songs. One song called Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. We love the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, wait into Jerusalem until the Spirit of God comes inside of you, and then go do great things for God. Do you know the Bible says the day that you in this room accepted Jesus, said after hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God came inside of you the moment you believed. And now that there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says now to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? How do you walk with God and learn to walk in the ways of the Lord? So we're going to sing a song just saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I encourage you as you sing the song, say, Spirit of God, you are in me from my time of salvation. Fill me and use me, right? Overfill me. Jesus says that there will be rivers of living water that will grow up inside of us that will spring up into eternal life. And he is speaking about the Holy Spirit that was going to come in our lives. If you want to hear God's voice, it's the Spirit of God that dwells within you will guide you in ways. He's your counselor. So we're going to sing that song. We're going to sing Broken Vessels. If you're here today and you just feel like, I need a fresh touch of God in my life, Maybe you're here today and you've got the God's will thing down, but you don't quite figure out his way or his timing. Maybe you're in the desert. Maybe you're just learning things and you want to pray with someone. You come up during these next few songs of prayer and let us pray over you. We believe that Jesus can break chains. We believe that Jesus can heal bodies. We believe that Jesus sets people free. We believe that Jesus is the one that guides us and leads us. And maybe you're at a season of life right now where you just want to come and pour your heart out before the Lord, then we'd be honored to pray with you. And at this time, I want to ask for our leadership of the church to come up here. I ask for Mike and Pat to come up, and they're here to pray with you. I ask my wife, Cindy, my brother, Mike, to come up here. I've got Pastor Graham, and Pastor Graham, by the way, is a great, did he miss his calling as maybe a game show host? He was awesome. Pastor Graham and BJ, we have Pastor Vince up in the balcony. I know that we've got Casey and Beth. You guys are up there, right? Or are they? You know, we're interviewing a new youth pastor today. You know what? I'm going to send Pastor Graham, I'm going to send you up to the balcony. Can we do that? You and BJ, he's our best. We got this guy. So if you're up there, they're going to be up there to pray with you. Would you all just take a deep breath with me? Let's just recognize that God is present, that God is here, that God is real. Superman, he's not real, people. Batman's not real. Moses is. Abraham's real. Jesus is real. The Lord is here. The eyes of the Lord are upon this place. They move to and fro throughout the earth that he might strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. Let's seek the Lord this morning. Lord, we embrace your ministry of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We thank you, God, that you've not left us as orphans. Jesus, after you died on the cross for our sins, you've sent a very special, the Holy Spirit in our lives that we might be born again, born anew, born from above. The third person of the Trinity to come and dwell within us. Holy Spirit, we recognize that you are the one that gives spiritual gifts. You're the one that guides and leads, that you are power, Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And Lord, we as followers of Jesus want to be Spirit-filled followers. Spirit of God, is there anything wrong in our lives? Maybe we need to confess sin this morning and receive forgiveness from Christ. Maybe we're here today and we just need power from the Lord. Maybe we need direction from the Lord. God, do your work in our midst. Teach us about following you. Teach us about you being sovereign and you being God. That you've got us. You watch over us. You're the good shepherd. God, hit your people. Minister to your people. Fall upon them now, I pray.